to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, many years ago, four bright-eyed kids from all scattered all over the United States met in Boston, Massachusetts to start a radio program, the Toucher and Rich radio program. Now, it's been on a couple radio stations. They dumped Wallach on us, and now here we are.
Yep, June 5th was the first official start of the show. However, there was one random date in March that they flew us here to do an evening show. I don't know why, because I think we'd already been hired at that point.
I think it was to appease local management.
Okay, well, which is fine. So we came out here for one night, which was strange. But and then before that, we had done a couple overnights. The station or the company wanted to hear us all together, and we went to Phoenix and did three shows from midnight to 5 in the morning. Is that what it was?
Midnight to something, yeah. And then we had worked all day.
Uh-huh.
And so it was quite the time.
Yep, it was. But June 5th, that was the official first day, and today marks the 12th anniversary. So we thought for in honor of that day, we would go back and relive some of the highlights and some of the embarrassing lowlights of our 12 years here in the history of the Toucher and Rich Show. Let's let it roll, Dan.
Hey, this is Charlie Sheen, the Warlock. You're listening to Toucher and Rich at 98.5, the Sports Hub. How was that?
Fantastic.
That was pretty good, right?
That was damn good.
Okay, cool. Let me do one drunk.
Hell yeah.
As Charlie Sheen, you listen to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, I think. Sports Hub. That's terrible.
1, 2, 3 o'clock.
Big Bang Clock.
5, 6, 7 o'clock.
Big Bang Clock.
9, 10, 11 o'clock.
Big Bang Clock. Big Bang Clock Palace. Going to see the palace. Big Bang Clock. Act like little kids. A haunted house. Big Bang Clock. Little kids. Big Bang Clock. See the palace. Act like little females. A haunted house. My favorite part besides the wind would be going to see the Big Bang Clock. Act like little kids.
I knew I was supposed to interview Incubus yesterday. I thought I was interviewing them at 4. I went and I started drinking some wine.
We sometimes play Gandalf or Incubus. At sometimes.
I smell that alcohol smell again.
Yeah, do you have anything like good to offer the conversation besides booze breath?
No.
Actually, what exactly is
nothing.
The point? What is the point?
It's starting to smell like flatulence over here, too.
I know.
I smell like flatulence.
I wasn't accusing you.
Right. Or just even a hint of, like, professionalism on the radio, you know?
Oh.
That would be sweet.
Well, that would be the end of me.
Really? I'm sorry. That's your gig. Are you, like, drunk guy on the radio? Is that your gig? That's, like, your thing that you do?
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay, that's...
Now I've got you in the groove. Shake that booty like a fool. All the ladies with the boom. 1, 2, 3. Let me hear you say boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom. 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 Dance. Too much booty in the pants. Dance. Too much booty in the pants. Dance. Too much booty in the pants. Dance. 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 Dance.
That beat is dirtier than Rafi Torres.
The key to any great game meal is snacking. You gotta have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Look, I got my wings. I gotta have some seafood. Fried calamari, perfect.
Oh boy. All right, so there you
when
go.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's
calamari. Fried calamari, I'm Italian.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's
calamari. Calamari. Gotta go a little calamari. Willy nilly.
What is this calamari you speak of? I'm a jackass. I've always been saying calamari.
David. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard.
What a matchup here for the World Karate Championship between Danielson and Johnny. Arnold / Mr. Miyagi is ringside. Johnny has just taken a pop right in the nose, and Sensei is encouraging him to sweep the leg. He's going to try and sweep the leg with a vicious cheap shot, and he does. And Danielson is down on the canvas. Danielson now with a clean kick to the head of Johnny. And Johnny's down and out. And Danielson is the world karate champion.
Need to lose it.
You just need to lose what, Crash?
Just relax.
Okay, I will. I don't mean to harsh your mellow or anything, dude.
Do you want something to eat? Want Smitty, some Doritos?
Smitty, mate, come on, man. Smitty, middle of the road.
That's obviously some kind of terminology that Rich and I are not privy to.
I'm looking in. All right. Seriously, just I need to relax.
Oh, man.
Goo goo gaga. I'm a baby. And Naughty Maz needs his Milky. She may have been kicked out of the Yankees locker room, but I'd still love to CC her Sabathias. Poker face? Don't mind if I do.
Do you think those fireworks right now are for the Boston Bruins? No, they're for the Red Sox. What the f*** you think? Are you here? Are you at the game? What's going on here?
Hi, Ron. You taking pictures?
Okay. Wait, who's Ron?
Okay, there's
Ron always... Washington.
No, there's always something going on in the fence. Remember the one guy walked by with a boombox just playing like disco music?
Yeah, he was enjoying himself.
Right. So apparently there's a guy named Ron.
He likes to take pictures.
He's taking pictures.
Now, what do you think John does for a good time?
I would like to give him a bath, Mr. Bubble Bath, and blow bubbles in it. Put Mr. Bubbles in his belly button and blow bubbles and make him laugh. And I bet he's very ticklish.
The Meniere's thing?
Mr. Bubble Bath.
Yeah,
here's Mr. Bubbles in his belly button and blow bubbles.
A modern day warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride. Though his mind is not for rent, don't put him down as arrogant. His reserve, a quiet defense, riding out the day's events. The riff.
Song right now.
Oh, it's gotta evacuate the dance floor. Evacuate the dance floor.
You know, it's funny, I actually looked online and I found that song.
Evacuate the dance floor.
Faster.
Evacuate the dance floor. Yukos.
Say it again.
Evacuate the dance floor.
Faster.
Evacuate the dance floor. Yukos.
Bob Sosi and Scott Zolak, thank you very much for recording that during the breaks of the Patriots game. Wasn't easy for Scott Zolak to do a quite simple read. Let's take a listen to some of the outtakes, shall we?
Brady's in the gun. He has the snap. He throws it deep to Julian Edelman. Oh, Edelman goes down, and Zoe, it looks like he got hit right in the fart box.
Oh, my God, man. I've seen it time and time again. In today's National Football League, you just can't target the fart box the way you used to. I'm so sick of it.
Oh, that's going to be a fine and a penalty right there.
It's a ripper. Bob, I want to tell you a story. I once tore my fart. Bob, there's one time in college where I almost tore my fart box, and I'm telling you, the only thing that hurts worse than ripping your fart box is bruising. Oh, I'm supposed to be so professional.
I'm crying.
Where's Mike Pine and Mike Callahan? I want Mike Pine and Mike Callahan. Right. Bob, I'm telling you. Here we go. Bob, I'm telling you, there was this one time in college where I almost tore my fart box, and he only... me. I'm sweating like a... Oh, Jesus. Hold on. All right, we got to get through this. All right. Bob, I'm telling you, there was this one time in college when I was at Maryland, I almost tore my fart box. The only thing that hurts worse than tearing your fart box is bruising your stink.
Oh. 25-yard penalty. Of course, a new point of emphasis this year, a legal hit to the fart box.
What a screw job.
All right.
What is wrong with God. Rich is sick.
So, Gronk, I've been getting emailed this story from listeners. Did you spend time with Welker at his house for this Halloween by any chance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The word chainsaw was brought up. Can you tell us the story?
Yeah. Matt White, on our team, he was at Wes's house just scaring people with the chainsaw. I mean, obviously he took the chain off, but he kind of got me too. When I walked in, he turned it up. He had the chainsaw massacre hat on and the chainsaw massacre mask. And he came out of nowhere behind a wall and absolutely scared me. It was because he got like 2 feet in front of me with the chainsaw, so it was pretty wild.
He's got some balls getting in front of a guy as big as you.
Wait, he's got a chainsaw.
Yeah, seriously.
We kind of even things out a little bit.
Rob doesn't know.
And we scanned some little kids, too, which was pretty funny.
Were you scaring them with the chainsaw?
Yep.
And instead of respectfully answering questions for me, you're gonna snort and run, choke on phlegm and stare at us. Bill, this offense is a tragedy. Tell me why.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Bill, play calling makes no sense to me. Tell me why.
Yeah, we're on to Cincinnati.
Hey, don't put McDaniels down. After all, he was the guy who drafted Tebow first round. Hey, what you gonna say?
We're on to Cincinnati.
We are joined by Rick Pitino, former coach of the Celtics, current coach of the Louisville Cardinals, who won the national championship. Rick Pitino, hello.
Good morning, guys.
You stink. You ruined the Celtics.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the
That's freaking brilliant.
Would you mind reading a liner for our show? You can insert your name there. What's this player name?
Hey, this is Andre Brown, and you're listening to... What is that, Land Bart? And
Lard Bart.
Lard Bart and... we're going to have to do this again. Lard sure. Bart and...
Flard Mart.
Can I do this over?
Sure.
Hey, this is Andre Brown, and you're listening to Land Bart and Flard Mart.
Lard Bart.
Hey, this is Andre Brown, and you're listening to Land Bart.
Lard Bart.
Like Lard. Yeah. Lard. Yeah. Lard Bart and Flard Mart.
That's right, Flard Bart. It's Lard Bart and Flard Mart.
Lard Bart and Flard Mart.
That's right.
I got a list. I don't know. All right. Hey, this is Andre Brown, and you're listening to Lag Bart, Lard Bart, and Flard Mart, and where the sports chicken goes cluck, cluck, and you're eating a pizza.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you.
Kutcher and Rich.
We're 30 seconds until kickoff on the 98.5 of the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, and surprisingly, no one has seen Bill Belichick.
This is crazy, Bob. I mean, he's the first guy that's always on the field, ready to go, first guy to have his team ready. And oh my God, what the hell is that?
All the lights have just gone off in Gillette Stadium. But wait a minute. There's now one lone spotlight shining on an older gentleman who looks to be dressed as Superboy. He's now sliding down some zip line from the 300 section as Living on a Prayer begins to play over the loudspeakers.
It's like Richie Sambora. Look out, Bob. It looks like Bill Belichick has got Bon Jovi.
Unreal. Bill has now landed onto a stage with exploding pyro and smoke. Gigantic letters behind him flashing Kiss My Ring. He has yet to crack a smile.
This is great, Bob Belichick. Play some sugar on me.
Woo! Or some sugar on me.
Or play some sugar on me, but then again, it's a different band. But
that's Ben Zolenko. Nice!
That's from the fart box recording session there.
I'm telling you. One day, Bill Belichick's going to be in Playgirl, and he's going to have a big Bon Jovi tattoo on his ass.
Do they still make Playgirl? Do they do that? I mean, since Eckersley did it, didn't they just shut it down and say, we're never going to get any better than this?
So, no, since Jerry Remy did it.
Like, that was right, yeah.
Can you believe Jerry Remy was in Playgirl? As if anyone was like, you know what? I want like a 5'7 super hairy dude.
I guess so. I mean, you know, mucho macho. That's the hair man back in the day.
With, like, literally no muscle
definition?
No. God, the 70s must have been awesome. You could be hairy and just have no muscle tone. You could be like a thinner me, and then I could be in Playgirl.
That would be
but
pretty
they couldn't
fun.
Show my penis.
Your chances that he has a tattoo at some point, Bill Belichick, somewhere on his body.
I have honestly, and I'm not lying, and if you're watching TV, my face is straight. He played lacrosse in college.
Yep.
He's been in locker rooms his entire life. He's obsessed with Jersey rock and roll.
He is obsessed with Jersey rock and roll.
I still contend, and I ask players this all the time, have you ever seen Belichick naked?
Just because you can see the tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know. I don't need to know anything else. I guarantee you he has, I guarantee you he has a tattoo. B, I mean, his father was in the military. Maybe his father has a tattoo from his time in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give you a 5% chance that it's Bon Jovi.
Like it says, like, he's got a tramp stamp. It says Slippery When Wet.
Yeah, like it's on his ass, like Slippery When Wet.
Right. Or just the Superman logo.
I've thought that oftentimes, right. But maybe he didn't want that.
For sure.
All right, the previous CBS Sports Minute was brought to you by Stormworks Roofing and Restoration. Dan Shaughnessy has a column today that talks about when Brady was a rookie and in a four-string quarterback. He was very, very friendly with the media. They didn't really... you know, they didn't really bother him. Obviously, he was a young, sixth-round pick with little chance of playing at that point. And then he goes on to say that at the end, you're all about, you don't part win the employee of the month parking spot anymore. You're all about the brand. You're all about Alex. And since you work in Fort Foxborough, where the truth and candor are enemies of the state, we can only guess what happened. That's it, Tom. Just wanted to know we were thinking about you. So I read that, and it will be interesting to see, even though everyone's saying that he is going to show up today. But they compared what Brady did to something that Wade Boggs said. And then it got me thinking. All right, so it says that, you know, do you really believe that, you know, this thing can, you can... impervious to injury and illness by sheer force of the method and its message. He's talking about, obviously, the TB12. Sometimes it sounds a little like the time Wade Boggs willed himself invisible to escape a knife fight. What is that story?
I've never heard
I
that.
I don't remember that one. I remember him falling out of a car, the whole Margot Adams thing during spring training. I don't remember that.
Okay, so my question is this. And I want to know a physician in the house, because Bray's going to show up today. The story's over. The thing is that there are two stories. One, that Boggs drank 64 cans of Miller Lite on a cross-country trip. Then it went up to 107 beers. I want to know if that's physically possible. Because I think the most I've ever drank was a case.
Now, are you
and I think I threw up.
Are you saying liver-wise or just to retain that?
Yeah, your liver is not going to shut down, I mean, after having that much beer.
Or not even liver, or just like being able to function. I could see how you pass out before you could drink that, if you're a normal-sized human being and not Enter the Giant. But just the sheer amount of liquid.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
64 beers, say, because they had that was back in the day where they had to stop and refuel.
Okay, so how many hours do you think that was?
So let's say that's 9 hours, 10 hours. You could drink 64 cans of beer and probably, you know, function.
It's a six pack an hour.
Yeah, it's a six pack an hour. You could probably function.
But I
want to know if it's physically possible to consume that much liquid at a time.
And Boggs obviously was. I mean, how big do you think he was? I mean, you could say, was he like a 6'2"? I'm assuming.
And he was very thin. I'm fascinated how you could drink that many beers and stay thin. And those were the days, because nowadays you can't drink on the team flights. Isn't that right, Johnny Wee?
Yes.
Yeah. He was 6'2", 200.
Yeah.
All right. 6'2", 200 pounds. Drank 107 beers. I know this is an old story, but I'm fascinated by it. Because they did chug a lot of beer on those trips.
Sure.
You did have beer in the locker room, in the clubhouse after games. I just want to know if that is physically possible.
Is there anyone that's even been close to that?
Like, yeah, is there anyone who's drank like 48 cans, like drank two cases?
In like 10 hours, right.
Or even quicker. I mean, in college, they had a running keg, and there was 15 of us, and we had to drink it without letting a drop hit the ground. And so all you do at a certain point is just vomit it up and get back in line.
Sure. Well, then there was like the 40 ounces to freedom where you had them like taped onto your hands.
Yeah, I always found that to be easy.
40 ounces of freedom.
Yeah, except that...
you're usually drinking gross, like malt liquor or something like that.
You got Schlitz. You got
Mad Dog. That was like the stuff that
we had a wine and cheese party for my fraternity where they said put on a suit. Like this, you know, Theta's coming over. And then you went down to the basement and they had microwave bottles of Mad Dog with Easy Cheese. And it was a wine and cheese party where you had to finish all of that.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. Mad Dog. And Rich and I used to play at this fancy golf course in Atlanta where they would have King Cobra, like 40s on the ground. Like, there's an income bracket where King Cobra's available. Like, if you go into a liquor store, even in Brighton, there's no King Cobra.
Yeah.
You have to go into a neighborhood where the medium value of a house is free.
You know what's funny? When I was in Vegas this past, a couple months ago, they have, refrigerators right in the gift shops of a lot of these casinos.
Right.
And right next to it, it'll have bottles of water, and right next to it will be tall boys. And tall boys were less expensive than the bottles of water. You had to get a bottle of water for $2.50. The tall boys were $1.99.
Yeah, probably because they want you to get drunk.
Yes.
What is it? So, Oldie Schlitz.
Oh, as I said, Mad Dog. What was it called? Mad Dog 2020 or 44?
Yeah, Mad Dog 2020.
Okay.
But Mad Dog 2020 is why?
Mickey's.
Oh, Mickey's. But
yeah.
Did Mickey's make 40s or were they just...
Those weird little barrel things?
Yeah. And they had a puzzle on the back of the cap.
Yeah, I never saw the puzzle.
Oh, they were mind benders.
Okay.
You know, they kept you on your toes. If you could drink enough Mickey's and still follow the...
to solve a puzzle.
The riddles that were on the back, you were doing okay.
Yeah, I never got anywhere near that. I mean, I used to be able to drink a lot for a small amount of time in my life. I was kind of... I found out that I had a gift. But, you know, I stopped doing that after a while. Just mass ingestion of that stuff. It wasn't fun for me.
Well, that was the only thing I could get when I was a freshman, where I could get a case of 40s. I knew a guy with a fake ID, and the only place where you could get anything had 40s, and that was the most economical way of getting drunk. Nowadays, it's odd because if I get to go out, I get to go out for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I ingest as much alcohol as possible in those 2 hours and then come home and not drink. But sometimes I'll have someone meet me out, and they'll meet me out, and I'll be like, hey, you're an hour late.
Somebody says the human stomach can only hold 1 liter of liquid normally and up to 4 liters when it's stretched out. So 64 beers seems almost impossible.
Matt, go ahead.
So you think Wadebox had to stop and refuel on that flight? It wasn't 1950. Mickey Mantle wasn't with them on the flight.
No, they did. They had to. It's like an. Did you ever see the Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where they try to do the Wade Boggs thing? Part of it is that they did. They had to go and refuel. I don't think they flew in a 747. I think they flew in a much smaller plane. But they had to stop in either Iowa or Idaho. One of the two. They did that.
Someone said, I remember that Boggs story. He said he willed himself invisible to escape a mugger outside a bar in Florida. Well only in Florida.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
The man's very happy to be in Tampa. Go ahead.
Hello.
Matt, go ahead.
Can you bottom up?
I gotta get it.
Okay, there we go.
Matt, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm just going to tell my story. I'm going to hang up. I got a backup goalie on my soccer team in college, 6'3". 220 Croatian guy. We were playing horseshoes down on the Jersey Shore. He drank 48 Yinglings.
Oh,
that's a true story.
Wow. And how long?
Goodness.
How long did it take him to do that?
Holy.
About 6 hours. He was an absolute puddle. We went out that night, but he made it.
48 Yinglings in 6 hours. That is impressive.
That is.
I don't know how you can drink that much beer.
That's one every 10 minutes for 6 hours.
And just the carbonation of it and how filling it is.
We used to do our drinking games. Remember, it was like you have to drink a beer. It was
if you go to the Toucher and Rich Instagram, Rich has a picture during one of these drinking games. And I even said something to him off the air that it's disgusting.
I know.
What we used to put into our bodies was disgusting. And then we'd go do the show the next day.
That was audio from one of them.
Yeah, that's me during a drinking game.
Those first couple of years of the program.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I missed that part.
What we would do is we would come up with something. We would say, okay, South Park. or we would say Sports Center, and we'd say, let's make a drinking game out of it. Let's make some rules. The callers are calling. You do a shot. If, you know, during the South Park, somebody said, my God, you killed Kenny or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we would test them out the next day. And I remember there was one that we just completely miscalculated how many times somebody did something. The Seinfeld drinking game. And we got so unbelievably messed up that I remember at one point,
forever, big guy touched me.
That was one of my all-time weirder clips. Well, it was like, where that came from.
99% of the time, we'd say, screw the game and just get wasted. And there was a time where this was when we first started, where I thought Crash was a homeless guy that had gotten into my apartment.
Yeah, you like freaked out, and he had been passed out on your floor.
He was passed out on the floor, and I freaked out and thought that he was a homeless guy that got into my apartment.
Okay.
That was one of the ones where, like, you'll see something, and then 20 minutes later, you'll be like, say the same thing again. Like, hey, there's a bum in here.
Big
and they're like, it's trash. Yeah. And then 20 minutes later, hey, there's a bum in here.
I sure decided to do this, so I would change up, like, the drink from the Budweiser to the Guinness.
Who is that?
That's Rich. Me.
That's yours truly.
You.
All right. That's yours truly.
Okay.
Not really able to sit up very well.
Oh.
Boy, Mary one time was pregnant, and she drove me home from the place across the street after Fred and I did a drinking game, and I just threw up all over myself. And so here's Mary walking me across the street in front of, I lived on top of this crowded bar, there's a line of people to get in, and here is this pregnant woman dragging a guy with vomit all over himself who's essentially Weekend at Bernie style comatose, and all these guys are like, you need help with him? And they're like, no, I got this. I looked like future father of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you're having a situation with your allergies.
This is, for some reason, I think it's because the winter went so long. So it'll get warm, and then everything will start blooming, and then it'll get cold again, and then it'll get warm again, and it'll start blooming. This has been the longest allergy season that I can remember for a long time, to the point where it, like, actually, it's so bad right now that it's, like, tough to, it, like, hurts to talk.
I saw at my son's baseball game Saturday, the wind was blowing. There was a yellow cloud being blown onto the field. The wind was blowing the pollen off the trees onto the field. It was a huge, it was like a big dust cloud.
It's the allergy season.
That's the worst I've seen it in a long time.
It's the allergy season that never ends. It started like 2 months ago, and it just keeps going because it gets warm, cold, warm, cold, warm, cold. And then it started all over again because it was freezing, or close to freezing, just the other day when it hit like 50 yesterday. So for some reason I woke up and it's like the whole back of my throat, and apparently that's hitting everybody as well. I mean, this has got to stop. I was driving about a week ago when it was in one of its 15th phases of coming back, and I had such a like sneezing and coughing fit that I had to pull over because I thought I was going to hit somebody. This has been one of the worst that I can remember in a long time.
Can you imagine if you were visiting and from somewhere else, you said, let's go to Martha's Vineyard. It's going to be nice. It's in June. And then today it's 64 with heavy rain. Yeah. Tomorrow it's 59. Yeah. Thursday it's 69.
Yeah.
Well, it's during the week, Fred. No one goes during the week. It's on a weekend.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen today. Right?
Yeah, if I'm coming in from Chicago, obviously I'm just coming for the weekend.
Yeah.
That's when you get totally screwed.
This is insane. It was 50 degrees yesterday.
It's so much better today. It's about the same.
It's 50 now. Apparently it's 50 now.
Yes.
And it ain't, it's going to be 64, which is pleasant, with heavy rain all day.
It's just, it's been, I've been taking such a beating this season because, you know, if it comes in one big swoop and it's a month I got to deal with it, it sucks. But this has been going on for so long that it actually is like starting to physically hurt me, which is really strange. Like I it's tough to sleep. I like pop those things like Tic Tacs. I'm like whoop, 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 and it still doesn't help. So this has been just end. We haven't even it's summertime. Come on, let's get it over with. It's June. Make something happen.
Yeah, that's right. Weather Mother
jerks.
Nature, you get on it. All right, Rich. Mike Gorman cheated on the show. And he dared to go on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was on that podcast, I think he reiterated something that we had had on our show when he was on. And do you have the audio?
Yep. And a lot of people seem kind of pissed off at Mike Gorman yesterday. And I mean, I don't think he's anything too controversial here, but here's what he had to say.
Do you expect Kyrie to be here long term?
By the way, this is CLNS.com, I believe. I don't know what that's. We talked about them before, but they got Mike Gorman on.
Do you expect Kyrie to be here long term, or do you think next year is his last year?
I don't think it's a given either way. Certainly, if you're going to trade Kyrie, you get excited about what there's got to be a whole lot coming back. I think Danny just, he doesn't like to put the untouchable label on anybody. I do think Tatum is untouchable myself. I think it would take some unbelievable offer to wrest him away from Boston right now. But I think everybody else is probably in play to some degree. Again, if you're talking about the big guy from New Orleans, then you're going to have to be talking about a really, really good player to go back the other way. And that's the only player that I know of that the Celtics really would put everybody on the table for. I don't think he's going to leave New Orleans, so I think that's a moot point. But Danny has a way sometimes of making things happen that don't look like they're going to happen.
Okay, so everyone's pissed now saying that, you know, what do you know, Mike Gorman? You're the one who said you wouldn't trade Avery Bradley for anyone, not Kevin Durant. That is a,
okay,
that's a good
point.
Yeah, I would say that's a good point.
Right, and I like the idea that, like, Kyrie Irving with a year left on his contract just popping out over there for Anthony Davis. Why, if I'm New Orleans, why do I want that?
Why do you want? Well, I mean, they would have to obviously be
sign
some sort of
trade.
Agreement. Yeah, right.
And then, if I'm Kyrie Irving, and it's a sign and trade situation, I mean,
do I want to go
to New Orleans? Yeah. Why would it sign? I'll become a free agent and go wherever I want.
But the fact that people are so up in arms that Kyrie Irving, you know, would be traded for, because all he's saying there is that if it was for Anthony Davis, I could see it happening. And I don't know why people are so up in arms about the fact or the thought that Kyrie Irving could get traded for a guy of that. It's easy. It's simple. Who's a better player, Kyrie Irving or Anthony Davis?
Anthony Davis.
So why wouldn't you make that trade?
Well, it's...
I mean, it all comes down to that.
From Gorman, who overvalues everyone. To say Tatum's untouchable is wrong, too.
Well...
Not untouchable. That's ridiculous. I mean, if you find a good enough player, if you find an absolute superstar that's in their prime... Or yeah. just before their prime.
Anthony Davis, I mean...
Yes, Anthony Davis. Yeah,
but the word untouchable has two meanings. I mean, you just say untouchable. Some people, that means someone you would not deal unless you got the best player on the planet in return.
No, untouchable means that they are off the table.
No, I understand that. And that's what it means to a lot of people. No, but who say Jason Tatum is untouchable would say, okay, if I offer you Anthony Davis or Jason Tatum, you would do that.
No, I believe that it is a piece. By saying that, you're saying it's a piece that you cannot part with.
See, I think you have enough on this team that if you did want to make a deal for someone like Anthony Davis, then you wouldn't have to trade Tatum. You've got a lot of great pieces, and obviously Jaylen Brown would, be thrown into that mix. But Jason Tatum is such an unbelievable value. I mean, you got him for a long time, a guy who's shown that he can deliver in the playoffs. Who could be a superstar in the making for nothing for how many more years?
Yeah, he's
like
your best
four
asset.
More years?
He's your best trade asset. I mean, if I'm a team and I'm looking to trade a superstar who's under contract, that's who I want. I don't want Jaylen Brown. I want Tatum.
Are you nervous at all that Kyrie won't want to stick around after this year?
Sure. He doesn't seem to be all there.
Yeah, he seems a little... off. I mean, he's a strange cat. We know that. He has on his... By the way, but this is something that's very underrated about Kyrie Irving, his personality. He has in his forearm a tattoo of the logo of the TV show Friends. And when asked about it, he said, I liked the show Friends.
Well, right
there, someone who you can't read.
Well, right there, you know he's crazy, because anyone who likes Friends that's not female, I got no time for.
Right.
And damn the bastards at TBS for putting that thing on for about 5 hours, and I'm not exaggerating,
right.
In the afternoon where I'm trying to go to sleep and watch TV. But yes, Kyrie Irving, who talked himself out of Cleveland, do I think that there's a possibility that he would choose to leave? Absolutely.
So if you're someone like Danny Ainge and you can't read... where Kyrie Irving's head is as far as wanting to remain as a Boston Celtic, don't you think if there was some sort of huge trade that you could make, and I wouldn't even think just Anthony Davis, even though I would hate to trade Kyrie Irving. I want to see this team as constituted make a run for it next year, and I think everyone else does too. But wouldn't you think that Danny would have to consider that? There's no way
he would have
untradeable.
To consider it. Now, let me ask you guys this. How many players of Davis's ilk are available? At this point,
Oh, I mean, there's not. LeBron James is a free agent, but he's not coming here.
Ultimately, I guess what I'm saying is when Danny made the trade and got Kyrie Irving, we sat here the next morning and said, this is the one big move Danny made. This is the final piece to the puzzle.
And the idea is that you want to win a championship, and Kyrie Irving, even if it's for a year, gives you the best chance to win a championship, which is often forgotten about. People want to just make moves. But, I mean, Kyrie Irving for a year with the team constructed around him is capable of winning a championship. If you move that piece, who knows?
All that being said, there's literally nobody on this team I wouldn't trade for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is better than everyone on this team.
Yeah,
he's better than any two players on this team.
Right, you'd have to trade an awful lot to get him. And again, it's not going to happen.
Maybe not any two players. That would have to be the right mix. I don't think I would trade. Well, no, they're not
New
trading
New Orleans
Hayward.
Going deep in the playoffs, making the second round of the playoffs, which was a surprise after Boogie Cousins went down. Oh, sorry, I can't say Boogie. DeMarcus Cousins went down.
Stop saying that team has a future. Golden State is there. Houston's there.
I understand
they're
that.
They're not going anywhere.
Look, I understand that. But, I mean, if you're New Orleans, what do? You just give up? For the next 5 or 6 years until Golden State gets bad?
Nope, you trade for young guys. Picks and younger guys, so that way by the time
then you
the
set
Warriors
yourself back again,
out,
this is as good as they've been in a long time. You have one of the best three players on the planet in your own building.
And they still can't win.
I understand that.
The second round.
I understand that.
Yeah, because
Rich, that doesn't mean you just throw all your chips to the center of the table and say, you know what? I'm going to sit the next 5 years' worth of hands out.
Yeah, and I want picks that I have no idea what the class is going to be like. I have no idea who's going to be available. I have no idea when the pick's going to be.
If New Orleans wins 42 games and doesn't make the playoffs, this is certainly a conversation. But I think the fact that Davis went as crazy as he did without DeMarcus Cousins with him shows everybody in New Orleans they need to keep him. I've done a lot of thinking about this.
Win.
I understand that. That doesn't mean you give up as a franchise.
Right, and they have as much money as anyone else. I mean, they're capable of spending as much money as anyone else.
Thought a lot about this. New Orleans is not going to trade Anthony Davis.
They can't. He's the marquee name.
No.
In a market that doesn't draw people.
It doesn't matter who plays there. You're still not going to draw anybody. If you can't get fans in the seats with Anthony Davis there, you're not going to get fans in the seats by gutting the thing and starting over again.
We